Well, it is a blessing today to have the Crusaders back with us. And I understand that they've been traveling and going and having a time, and they've come to be with us and have a time. So we look forward to the Crusaders coming to be with us. And as I understand, the Children's Church will leave after the special music. Is that right, Miss Lynette? Miss Lynette will be taking the Children's Church and taking them to the Fellowship Hall. We appreciate her and all the workers that are taking care of our children during this time. So at this time, let's give them a real big Hunt Springs Baptist Church welcome, the Crusaders. Thank you for coming.
Mr. Wesley was telling us that, you know, I won't be there on the Sunday that you're going to be with us, but I've left you in good hands. These are good hands. Amen. I know he's not the pastor of this church, but he's our pastor today, and he's going to lead us with the word today, and we just want to share some songs with you, and we just want to. It's all about, I told somebody the other day, it's all in building the kingdom. And we want to do that. We want to try to add to the kingdom today. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, there's no better time than right now. If you've got a need in your life, there's no better time than right now than to let the Lord, let him meet your need. You say, oh, well, I don't like to go up before people. You don't have to do that. You can stay right in your seat and God can do a work in your life, and we're believing that today. We didn't just come to fill a spot, but we're on a mission because we're trying to win those we can and be a blessing to those that we can for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Worship with us. Looking back over my life, God's good, so good. And it's a fact, sometimes I took the wrong path, but God was good, so good. And when I think where I've been and what he's brought me through, all I can say that God's been so good. But on second thought, God's been great. How great, how great, how great is God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the grace he sought me. Great the blood that bought me, how great. How long are his arms of mercy? Reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good? No, God's great. Moving on, well, I've got a new song. Cause God's good, so good. When I'm faced with trials in my way, God's good, so good. And when I'm questioned about this smile on my face, I must reply, all I can say that God's been so good. But on second thought, God's been great. How great,
how great, how great is God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the grace that sought me. Great the blood that bought me. How great,
how long,
how long
are
are His arms of mercy. Reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem ain't God good. No, God's great. How great. Is God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the grace that sought me. Great the blood that bought me. How great. How long, how long are His arms of mercy? Reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good. No, God's great. Reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good. No, God's great.
Amen.
Amen.
I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to love have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heart and
Amen. We truly have come too far to look back. Huh? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. I asked Pastor, I said, I thought about this a little bit ago, and I thought, well, and I know what he's going to tell me. I said, well, can you tell me what you're going to preach on? He said, I can't do that because it's fresh. And that's what he told me the last time. And you know what? He delivered with the Lord's anointing. And I'm telling you what. I told Brother Bobby, what did we call him while I go? Billy Bob, didn't
Billy
we?
Bob.
He told me not to listen to her. I'm assuming that was his wife. But anyway, Lord, I've just lost my thought. Help me, sister. But anyway, I said, I think what I was going to say was that it's so good to be able. Now, we love Pastor Wesley, don't get us wrong. But we loved teaming up with Pastor this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know where I'm going now, but you know, I thought it sounded pretty good. Amen. Let me just tell you, can I tell you, how many of you have never heard us sing before? There's a few. This is Joyce Scott, her husband Bobby Scott there. This is my wife, Marianne. My name is Michael, and Shirley Smith is in the back. That's the Crusaders, so to speak, the name. But we would rather for you just to say, hey, they're a child of the King. That's worth it all to us. Amen. If you never remember our name, just as long as you know that the one that we were representing, that we represented him well, and we hope that we'll do that today. Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hand stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Aren't you glad for the touch? Amen. He found me, I didn't find him. One day he touched the crippled man, and he made him walk again. Oh, the master saw with pleasure that it labored not in vain. Like the story of the crippled man, I too was bound by sin. But since the master came, oh, praise his name, thank God I now can say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Help us sing it, would you? Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Oh, I was in darkness when
Jesus, find me. But since she touched me, thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
I'm not the only one that can talk around here. They can talk, but I just feel the little talk this morning.
Come on.
Amen. I'm so glad that in that song it talks about the Lord found me. Sure, when we become a Christian, we find the Lord, right? But he searched us out, and he found us and made a change in our life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm reminded of a minister a while back, and correct me if I don't tell it right. You can help me out, because she will help me out. But the pastor said, I just preached the worst message. I mean, it's just terrible message today. Somebody was saved in that service. He was, I just did the worst. But what did his wife say?
She said, isn't it good that God didn't need you?
That's right. God didn't need it. He don't need us. We need him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I this is holy ground up here. I'm telling you, God is in the house today. Praise the Lord. Can I just tell you a little bit before we sing some more? We are doing a couple of different singings coming up in October and November. I've got some flyers in the back, and we'd love for you to take one. Groups like Safe Haven that's been here. Groups like Potter's Wheel. You don't know Potter's Wheel, do you? Yeah, they're some good people, too. But there's just many others. Palmetto Street Praise, you ever heard of them? They're on that program. But you'll see those flyers about that. We'd love for you to, if you could, come be with us on that. And plus, we got a product table set up, and we'd love for you to help us buy some of that diesel fuel that's doing lightness right here. If you'll help us with a CD or a shirt or a hat or one of those fans back there. We got some little fans, one that says Jesus on it. The other one says blessed on it. I mean, we just got a lot of different things. We'd love for you to stop by and help us out. But we're not here to sell you everything other than Jesus Christ. We want to sell you on him because he is good. Amen. I'm through right now.
Okay. He does good. I'm proud of him. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll say it in front of everybody. He and I have been married 47 years, and he's a good man. Good man. Loves the Lord. And
can I do this now?
Yeah.
She normally does that.
And I thank the Lord for him. I thank the Lord for the touch that God has on his life and the desire that he has to see more people come to know the Lord, and I appreciate him. And I can say that in front of everybody. Is that good? Now pay me.
I'll buy you lunch.
Praise the Lord. We are thankful to be here. Appreciate you having us this morning. I couldn't help but when we sing that song a couple weekends ago, we were at Knott's Island Baptist Church. And everybody says, where in the world is that? Well, you have to go in Virginia and come back in North Carolina to get to it. It's out there. One of them little juts that you see on the map is out there. And that night we got out there, and they said that we could plug in somewhere there at the church. And so Michael had his telephone out there, and he's trying to find where that plug's at. And Shirley says, look, there's a deer. And there was this deer right over there. Well, I got my telephone, and I took a picture, and I sent it to my girls, and I said, our current situation. Because Michael's standing there with that phone and that deer. It's almost like a standoff is what it looks like in the picture. He's standing there, and that deer is just standing there. And it's still just standing there. And he didn't spend a whole lot of time out there after that, and he came on in. Well, the next morning, that deer was still standing out there. And we mentioned it in the service, and they started laughing. And one of them said, he's plastic. And the other one said, "You ain't got but two legs." Oh, and they said, "We're surprised you didn't see the bears." They talk like the bear. We'll take that plastic beer. But at night, that thing looked like we didn't know what it was going to do because it was so still. And it was pitch black out there except for that deer. And we got a good kick out of that. But it just hit me that so many times when we're in the darkness, how things look. And things can look pretty bad. They can look scary. They can look like things that, and the enemy wants us to think that they're things that they're really not. Even the world situation we're in today. You know, the enemy wants us to think there's no one good in this world. That God is not working. That God has quit doing miracles. That God is not hearing and answering prayer. And we know that's a lie from the enemy. We know that. We know that there are so many more people that love the Lord than we even realize. But once we come in to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, things change in our life. We see things different. Something that might would have sounded like boo to us before. It's like, you know, no big deal. That light that only comes from Him, that He shines light in areas that are so dark. If we'll go to His Word, we'll see His light. And if we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we'll carry His light. And we'll be able to show others in a dark world where our hope is. And if there's, this has just been on me lately so much, if there's ever been a time that we need to share Jesus, it's today. We need to tell people there is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. God has all this worked out. We just have to trust Him. I don't care what it is that's hit your life or hit your family. God is ahead of it. He's not behind. He's already got it worked out for you. We just have to trust Him. When you hear of a 13-year-old little guy doing what that little guy did in Wendell the other day, somebody hasn't told enough of how we need to trust the Lord. These people that get disgruntled and run into these schools or into businesses with guns and shoot people, they don't know that there's another way. Somehow or another, the enemy has fed them lies. Where's the church? And who is the church? That's us. We can't wait on someone else. We've got to step up and be the church and tell people about the Lord and the hope that we have in Him and the truth that we have in Him and that God's got it under control. Don't let the enemy scare you. Tell him where to go back to. Tell him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Go away. I'm tired of your lies. I'm tired of you trying to scare us. I trust the Lord. I stand on His word and His word alone. I know that God is working all things for good." That's what His word says. It's not my word. That's His. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what comes your way. And behind that, I have to say, September the 11th, 2002, was a monumental day in my life. A doctor told me I had cancer that morning. So today, I celebrate 20 years. 20 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know that my God, oh, I could tell you so many stories, but He's preaching this morning. But I just want you to know today there's power in prayer.
See someone down on their knees talking in the air, words lost on a breeze. Some just see teardrops falling to the floor. just a waste of time, not good anymore, but it's a direct line to the throne room, where you can find someone. There is power in prayer. I can tell you about the time the Lord gave me peace. With troubles all around, He calmed that storm in me. Some have their doubts, but I know that I know that I know there is a direct line to the throne room, where you can find someone who cares. And if you need some proof, I can tell. There is power in prayer. He's always listening, and that won't change. Don't miss the moment to call on His name.
Amen. Thank y'all so much. Wonderful job. Praise the Lord. Wonderful job. Thank you so much. When I go to work tomorrow at the sheriff's office and they said, "What did you do?" I said, "I sang with the Crusaders." I did sing with you when you asked me to. I sure did. When I was in my home church, I did sing with a little group, and we almost made it until I found out that when they clapped at the end, they were just glad we were through. They weren't appreciating what we did. And so we almost made it. So as I was thinking about the word almost, I wanted to share with you today some things about almost. You know, almost means that the goal is in sight. You're almost there. It can be good. We're almost there to complete it. or we quit early and we almost made it. I have two cousins in the hills of Tennessee, way back in the hills of Tennessee. As I grew up as an only child, and I had good toys. And when these cousins would come down to visit with us in Alamance County, they tore my toys up. I chased one in the yard with a stick one day, wanting to kill him. My mother intervened, and I said, "I'm doing what I learned in church." She said, "What's that?" I said, "Do unto others as they do unto you, and I'm going to kill him." She said, "No, that's not what it means." When I found out they were coming, I would take my good toys and slide them up underneath the bed as far as I could get them and put junk toys that I had in the toy box. And they'd come in to say, "Is that the best you got?" I said, "That's the best I got." They would take one of my little cars and bite the tire off of it. This is how bad they were. And set it down and laugh at it and say, "It's got a flat tire." Well, these boys grew up and they went down to the town close to Johnson City, Tennessee, to get a job. Crops weren't doing that good, and they're on the farm, and they had a hard year, so they said, "Let's go get us a real job." Well, they went down, and they went to the unemployment agency, and they went in. The oldest one is Wayne. The youngest is Everett. They took a number. Everett went in first. He sat down with a man. The man said, "What is your specialty? What can you do?" He said, "I'm a pilot." Whoa, the man just, his eyes lit up. He said, "We need pilots." He filled out a little piece of paper, said, "Take it and go out through the lobby. Take a right in the hallway. Go down three doors. They'll give you a job. We need pilots." Wayne, the oldest, it was his turn. He went in. He sat down with a man. Man said, "What's your specialty?" Wayne said, "I see you give my brother a job, and we normally work together." He said, and the fellow was expecting him to say aircraft mechanic or something of that nature, but Wayne said, "I'm a chainsaw operator." Man said, I don't think we have any openings for a chainsaw operator." And Wayne said, "Well, you gave my brother a job, and we work together." The man said, "Yes, but he's a pilot." Wayne said, "He can't pilot till I cut it." So they almost got a job that day. They almost. Well, if you have your Bible, turn with us to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. This is old King Agrippa. King Agrippa came down to visit Festus, the governor. Festus said, "We got a man here that you need to listen to. Name was Paul." Agrippa said, "I'll listen to him." They brought Paul out, and Paul stood before him, and Agrippa said, and verse 1 said, you can speak for yourself, Paul. You can go ahead and talk for yourself. Go ahead. Well, Paul began to tell him. He said, "Listen, King Agrippa, I was a Pharisee. I was the best of the best. I was gung-ho Pharisee. I was on it. I did everything a Pharisee did. I studied, I worked. I'm a Pharisee," and I was a Pharisee. He said, "I was the best one." He said, "I would go out and arrest people. I would just burst into their house. I would arrest them. I would take them." He said in verse 10, Paul said this, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, He said, I gave my voice against them. I even said, yes, go ahead and kill them. Paul said, I actually was a murderer. This is my background, King Agrippa. This is what I've done. This is the kind of person I used to be. He said, but something happened to me. He said, I was going over to Damascus. He said, I was going over there and I had letters from the chief priest. And I was going over there to do the same thing that I'd been doing around Jerusalem and all those cities. He said, I was going over there and then a light shined down from heaven. And he said, there was somebody there, standing there in the road. And I said, who is it? He said, it's Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And he said, I fell down. He said, I fell down. And he said, Jesus said to me, Paul, in verse 16, I'm going to make you a minister and a witness to the Gentiles. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to make you a witness and I'm going to change you, Paul. You've been a murderer. You see, in North Carolina, there's a felony murder rule. If a fella drives the getaway car and then his friend goes in and murders the store clerk and he comes out and jumps in the car, both of them are guilty of first-degree murder, the felony murder rule. Paul was guilty of the felony murder rule. He was a murderer. King Agrippa, I was not disobedient, he said in verse 19. He said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, I got changed that day, King Agrippa. I was changed. I met Jesus and I was changed and I've been forever changed. And that's why I'm here in these chains. I am a different person, King Agrippa. And you know what King Agrippa said in verse 28? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul, I'm almost convinced that I need it, but I'm just not ready to do it. I'm almost there, Paul. I'm almost, but I'm just not sure. And you know, we find people like that today. They're just not convinced that they need to receive Jesus as their Savior. They're just not ready. Almost. They're within sight. They're close. But they've just not decided that that's what they want to do. Paul said, listen, I've been changed. I'm a new person. I'm old things have passed away. All things have become new. And I'm different. And you know all those sins that Paul had to carry around, worry about them. You know what? I don't think he worried that much about them because he understood that those sins are written in the book. You remember we talked about the books. And how that each sin is recorded and it's got to be paid for by somebody. Jesus said, Paul, I'll pay for your sins if you'll accept me. And Paul accepted him and he was a changed man. And where are those books now? Well, we studied that, didn't we? Those books that people's sins are in, where are they going to be at the great white throne judgment? Those people who have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, the Bible said they're judged out of those books that are written about them. They'll be judged at the great white throne. Where was Paul's book? Where was the books that he had the murder in? Where was the books that he had offended these people and put them in prison? Beloved, they are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those books will not be brought up against Paul again. And my books, you know, some people said about me or say something to me, I say, well, I wasn't always a preacher. And that's true. I got a history too. I grew up. One day I wanted to be a part of the crowd. So I said, I'm going to school and I'm going to cuss. I did. I said, I'm going to school and I'm going to cuss. It felt odd. I was a Christian. It felt odd to me, and I was trying to do it like them. Because, you know, in the unsaved crowd, they can say one little word, one little cuss word, and everybody will laugh. I tried it. I tried to cuss. I tried. Didn't work. Didn't work for me. All those books that the Lord had written down about me, about you. If you're born again by the grace of God, you're like Paul. Paul's books are covered by the blood and they won't be brought up against him anymore. The devil will bring them up against you, but Jesus won't. Old Agrippa said, I'm almost convinced. I'm almost convinced, but I'm just not sure. See, Paul was talking to the king, and the king said, I don't know if I need that or not. I'm the king. I could tell somebody to go over yonder and do this. He'll go over and do it. I'm the king. Well, let me show you another situation. Go back with me in your Bibles. In the Old Testament. In the Old Testament to a small book called Jonah. A small book called Jonah. If you'll go to Matthew and start heading back toward the front part of your Bible, you'll run into Jonah. Now, Jonah, the Bible said in chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, Jonah was a prophet. Jesus called him a prophet. He said the prophet Jonah. In chapter 1, of the book of Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. Preach to them. Their wickedness is come up before me. Jonah, go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to them people down there because they're bad off. They're bad people. I want you to go preach to them. Well, but in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish and from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go to Tarshish. Now here is a man who is called of God to do the work of God, and he's almost obedient, not quite. The Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh, from where Jonah was, is about 500 miles. Jonah said, No, I'm not going to obey the Lord. I'm going to run from the presence of the Lord. So he went down and got on a ship going to a place that's 2,500 miles away across the Mediterranean Sea. 500 miles? 2,500 miles. He was running from the Lord. He was disobedient. He was not obedient. He's almost obedient, but he's not going to do what the Lord wants him to do. He is not going to do what the Lord wants him to do. He refuses. It cost him quite a bit. First of all, the fare. How much it cost him to go 2,500 miles? I don't know. This may have been the first cruise ship. That's what he was planning. Fella got on a cruise ship. Went downstairs to where you eat. Young lady sitting over there, she smiled at him. He smiled at her. He sat down with her. She said, you look like my fifth husband. He said, how many times you been married? She said, 4. Jonah got on the cruise ship and he was headed out. He was running from the presence of the Lord. He was not obedient. He was disobedient. Let me show you in 1 Samuel, what happened to Saul. Remember, Samuel said to Saul, King Saul, go down and kill the Amalekites. Kill all of them. Every one of them. Even the children. I'm bringing judgment upon them because they laid wait for Israel and they hurt my people. Go down and kill all those. That's the word of the Lord. Well, Saul went down. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul went down. They saved the king. They got the king and the best of the animals, and they brought them back. And Samuel came and said, "What? I hear sheep, and I hear goats, and I hear bulls. What is all this about?" Saul said, "Well, you know, the people saved the best of the sheep because we're going to offer them up as a sacrifice." Look what Samuel said. Samuel said in verse 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on obedience. Obeying his word, hearing his word, taking his word, living by his word. And you see, that's what the Lord wants us to do today. As our dear lady was speaking, now's the time for the church to stand up. Now's the time for the church to live by this book. Now's the time for the church to do this book, to put this book into action, put some boots on the ground and live by this book. We've got to obey him. Obedience is better than a sacrifice. Rebellion and stubbornness, the Lord does not want that in our lives. He does not want that as part of it. Here's Jonah, obeying, no. Disobeying, yes. Rejecting, yes. Being stubborn, yes. The Lord said, "I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. This is the way I want you to live. This is what I've got for you. This is what I've told you. If you'll do it, it'll work." But people say, "I'm not going to obey that book. I'm not going to give up my lifestyle. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that." The Lord says, "Just obey me and you'll see that it'll work." It'll work. My electronics is just not as good as yours. Obey. Obey. Jonah got on that ship. Here they go. The second thing happened to Jonah was a big storm. I've been in the Mediterranean. Roger may have too. We've been in the Mediterranean. Some storms come up out there. This was a big one. This was not the best of ships probably. And the people began to pray to their gods. These were unsaved people. But you know where Jonah was? He was down in the parts of the ship, and he was asleep. They run down and ask him, said, "What in the world's going on? Get up, you sleeper. Pray to your God that we'll be safe." They'd already thrown the cargo overboard. They threw that overboard. Jonah said, "I'm the cause of this. I'm the cause of this." They cast lots. They didn't want to throw him overboard. But he said, "Throw me over into the sea and it'll calm down. Because I'm the one running from the Lord. I'm the one that's disobedient. I'm the one that's not doing what the Lord wants me to do." And you see what's happening? It's costing a lot of people all around him because of his disobedience. You see, it'll happen that way today too. When we're almost obedient, when we're disobedient, when we're rebellious, and when we're stubborn, it costs other people too. It spills over into their lives. They didn't want to do it. They rowed and rowed and tried to steer the ship. It wouldn't work. He said, "Throw me overboard." They threw him overboard. I'm going to tell you, we don't like to throw people overboard. I have an uncle. I don't know where he got the name. He's passed now, but I don't know where he got the name. But his nickname was Toad. I didn't ask any questions. Uncle Toad. He was a fisherman. Had pictures to prove it. He was a braggart. He could brag about his fishing. Dad found this lake there in Alamance County, Timber Ridge Lake, and we fished it several times and never caught nothing. Didn't catch a thing. He'd get me up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I said, Dad, it's too soon. They're asleep. Don't wake them fish. They're asleep. They're going to be mad at you. They won't bite. Sure enough, we get out there. He must have made them mad because we didn't get a bite. Uncle Toad came to town, the super fisherman. Dad and I looked at each other and said, let's take him out there. We took old Uncle Toad out there. We took Uncle Toad out there, put him in the front of the boat. We had a little boat. I was in the middle. Dad was in the back. We rowed out. Dad and I were fishing like we'd normally done. Bring up the minnow. Minnow would look at us and just shake its head. We'd throw it back. Get in there and do what you're supposed to do. And we didn't get anything. Uncle Toad got one. Bent the rod. Put it in there. I said, Uncle Toad, you're a pretty good fisherman. He said, yes, I am. He said, I can catch a fish in your bathtub and I'll let you draw the water. He liked to brag. That day we wanted to throw someone overboard, but we didn't. He was catching fish like crazy, and we couldn't catch a thing. It got so bad the fish were coming to the surface, raising their little fin, saying, choose me, choose me. No. These tall tales can get pretty tall after a while, you know what I'm saying to you? But anyway, he did catch fish. Here's something else, the Lord. He had a ship. It happened to be there. He had a storm. And then there was a sea monster. Now, the Lord said it was a whale. But he had to be specially created for that event. Because there's the fish, like a whale, has a mouth big enough to take in a human being, yes. But its throat is not big enough to swallow the human in one big chunk. So the Lord had to prepare it. Said the Lord prepared a great fish. Said the Lord had prepared a great fish in Jonah chapter 1 verse 17. He prepared it. Why? Because of disobedience. Stubbornness. Disobedience. And you see, it cost all of these sailors, their cargo, they were afraid for their life. They were afraid they were going to lose the ship. But one thing that came out of it was they bowed down and they worshiped and they offered a sacrifice in verse 16. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord. So that came out of it. But Jonah was disobedient. And then if you'll go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And verse 38. Luke chapter 23 and verse 38. And the superscription also was written over him as letters of Greek and letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This is a picture of Calvary. This is a picture of the old cross, and it's in your mind right now. You see Jesus on the middle cross, and you see thieves on either side of him. One of them said, "If you are the Christ, do something. If you are." The one on the other side, or the other one, the Bible said the other one. The word other in the Greek means another of a different kind. This thief on the other side received Jesus as his Savior. He realized that Jesus was who he said he is. He's the Messiah. He's the one dying, the innocent dying for the guilty. And this man said, "I receive him. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He received him. But the one on the other side said, if you are. He almost got into paradise. Jesus said to the one that received him, that called him Lord, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." They could hear each other. They were talking to each other. Because the one that received said to the one that rejected, "Don't you know? Don't you see? Don't you understand? Don't you know what's happening? This is the one innocent one, but we're guilty of our crimes. We're the ones suffering. We're the ones dying because of our crimes." You see, this is a death penalty sentence, and they were thieves. In those days, to be a thief brought the death penalty. Changed a lot now, hasn't it? The fellow that just killed those people up in Memphis, Tennessee, he was charged with attempted murder. They plead it down to assault, aggravated assault. They gave him 3 years. He stayed in prison 11 months, and they let him out. Then he goes to Memphis, Tennessee, and kills four, maybe more. If he had been incarcerated, he would have still been in prison, and they wouldn't have died. But here, this is a death sentence. This is a death sentence for those there were thieves, and these two thieves were dying. Almost did this thief get into paradise. Isn't that a shame? He was right there. He heard the testimony of the other thief. He heard them talking about a place called paradise. He heard them talking about, "Lord, remember me." He heard the thief say, "This is Jesus. This is the Lord of my life now. I can't get off this cross. I can't go to church. I can't get baptized. I can't give any money. I can't do anything. But Lord, would you have me? I hadn't got a thing to offer." And you see, that's the way we come to Jesus, just like that. "I hadn't got a thing to offer you, Lord. I hadn't got a thing that I can give to you. I hadn't got a thing that you want. I hadn't got a thing that I can give. But listen, would you accept me?" And Jesus said, "Yes, today you'll be with me in paradise." The other thief heard that. He heard the testimony. He heard it. He was almost there in paradise and could have been. But he rejected it, as far as we know from the Bible. He wouldn't accept it. No, no. He's like Agrippa. "Well, maybe I'm almost convinced." But you know, as far as we know, he was close. Jesus made it simple. In the book of Matthew, when the disciples said, "Well, now, you know, when are you coming? When's going to be your coming? Tell us about this and tell us about these things." And Jesus made it simple, just cut it all down. He said, "Listen, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either for me or you're against me." And you know that standard is still applicable for today. You're either for me or you're against me. You can be close. You can be close to be convinced. You can be close to obedience. You can be close to being in paradise or going to paradise. You can be close. Listen, let me tell you this. There are no unbelievers in hell. Let it sink in. No unbelievers in hell. Why? Unbelief, rejection of Jesus Christ, their sins sent them there. But once they get there, what do they say? Oops. Oops. They were right all along. The preacher was right all along. The Bible said in Luke chapter 16, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in hell, and is in torments. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. There's flames there. He said, I'm thirsty. I need some water. No. Well, I got five brothers over yonder. Tell them not to come here. No. He was close. He was close. But he did not receive the truth. And then he had to go to that awful place. The thief on the cross was close. He heard them talking about paradise. He heard Jesus say, today you'll be with me. He heard Jesus say, I'll accept you. I know what you've done. I will cover those sins for you. I'll cover those books. I'll take my blood and I'll cover them. And I'll pay for every one of your sins. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. He said that to me. He said, Brother James, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. Don't you worry about him. Don't you worry about him no more. Because I'm going to pay for it. And he did. He did. That thief, he would have paid for his if he would have accepted it. But he was close. Would you bow with me in prayer? Are you close? Are you close? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you saved today? If you're saved, let me ask you this. Are you obedient? Jonah said, no. Said, no, Lord, I know what you want me to do, and I know how you want me to live, and I know what you want me to be and all this, but no, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to run. I'm going to run from you, Lord. I'm going to run. Didn't pay off. It won't pay off. If you're running from the Lord and he's wanting you to do something and live a certain way and act a certain way and talk a certain way and be something for him, and you're running, it won't pay off. It'll cost you. Are you saved today? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Now you have to do it yourself. Nobody can do it for you. The thief may have been buddies with the other thief, but he couldn't have got him saved. He couldn't have saved him. The thief that was close, he had to ask himself. You have to ask yourself. You have to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And if you haven't done that, you're close. You've heard the testimony like Agrippa. You know what you should do. You know Jesus loves you. You know Jesus died for you. You know Jesus is wanting to save you. You know Jesus is wanting to have you in paradise with him. You know all that. But you're close. You got to make that move. You got to receive Christ as your Savior. You've got to do that. Nobody can do it for you. Would you do that today if you're not? Would you? If you're a child of God and you're disobedient, you know you're disobedient. Well, listen, when we would disobey with our parents, we knew when we disobeyed. We knew what we were doing. You know if you're disobeying the Lord. He's your heavenly Father. He calls it chastisement. That means take you out behind the woodshed and work you over a little bit. Get your attention. He'll do that. The longer you run, the worse it gets. If Jonah had not run so far and turned around and went back, he wouldn't have had to been thrown overboard, swallowed by a big fish, 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a fish. He said weeds were wrapped around his head. Don't you know that was terrible? The farther you run, the longer you run, the worse it's going to get. If you're not saved in our service, I'm going to ask you, would you receive Jesus as your Savior? You may be close. The thief missed paradise by just a few hours, maybe, or a few minutes. See, they didn't last long because they were coming around to break their legs. The excruciating pain probably caused them to have a heart attack. We're not sure, but at least, you know, when you break in the thigh region, you could bleed to death in that area. He died. If he was not saved, he lifted up his eyes in hell. Jesus don't want you to go there. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish. I'm going to have a prayer. If you're not saved, would you pray that prayer as I pray it? If you're disobedient, would you pray, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm tired of running. I'm coming back. Take me. And use me. And as Moses said at the burning bush, here I am. Here I am. Our Father in heaven, if there's one here without Christ, like the old thief on the cross, he was close to paradise. He was almost there, but he rejected it. If there's anyone here almost convinced, may they pray this prayer. Our Father, I come to you and I receive your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Change me, wash me, cleanse me, cover my sins as you promised you would do and pay for them with the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I accept Jesus as my Savior. Cover me. Cleanse me and use me from this day forward. Dear Father in heaven, if there be one that's prayed that prayer, let them mean it and let them feel it on the inside. If there's a disobedient one, Lord, running the wrong way, just hadn't got thrown overboard yet, just hadn't got swallowed by the big fish, may they say, Lord, I'm turning around, I'm going home. Like the prodigal, I'm going home. Lord, have thine own will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you remain with your head bowed and eyes closed? In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone prayed the prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior? Would you raise your hand? Don't be ashamed. Nothing to be ashamed about. You were almost. Now you're all in. If you're one who has been running from the Lord, I pray for you. Turn before you get thrown overboard and the big fish swallow you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the Crusaders if they'll come back, close our service with a song.
Pastor James delivered the word for us this morning. We want to end with this song here. I'm kind of torn between the songs, but I know that the Lord, I'm trusting Him to lead us in this matter. Thank you. Since I started out with you, Lord, there have been times my feet have strayed. Too busy that I fail to read your holy word and pray. But in my darkest hour, when it seemed that no one cared, while searching for a hand to hold, your hand was always there. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. And even though I failed you so, you never turned your back on me. When I thought I was standing all alone, you were there, but I couldn't see. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. Many times I felt discouraged as I struggled day by day. The path I traveled on had grown so dark, well, I couldn't find my way. Though it seemed there was no solution to the trials that I was going through, but now I can see your hand was guiding me before I ever reached you. Lord, I know when I didn't have my hand, you had your hand on me. And even though I failed you so, you never turned your back on me. When I thought I was standing all alone, you were there, but I couldn't see. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. When I thought I was standing all alone, you were there, but now I see. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. You had your hand on
me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Crusaders. Thank you so much. Thank each one of you for being with us today. Pastor Wes will be back next week. He had a weekend off, and we praise the Lord that he can rest a little bit and be much in prayer for him as he travels a little bit. So if you would stand with us, please, for closing prayer and bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, as we bow, we come before you. Lord, you're wonderful, you're gracious, you're kind. You do all these for us, and we praise you. Let us work for you, serve you, and be a blessing. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your blessings. Go with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.